Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. Now, Dudley CVS, which is a registered charity, ran its Operation Santa Appeal for over 40 years and in 2019 has worked together to connect, collaborate and build partnerships with individuals, organisations, groups and businesses right across Dudley Borough and beyond. They collected donations of new toys, gifts and food to help make Christmas special for children, young people and their families. Now, Black Country Radio was proud to be part of this by having our large performance studio at the back here turned into Santa's Grotto. I've never seen a studio look so splendid. But also, we did some live broadcasts on the day of the launch last November, which I was proud enough to be asked to present. You, our listeners, helped out with financial donations and donations of toys and other items too. Now, I'm joined in the studio by our old friend, no emphasis on the old, but by our friend Eileen Fielding, otherwise known as Chief Elf of Operation Santa, and also Lee Southern from Volks Magic to sum this all up for another year. Thank you both very much for coming in.
Well,
or Southerton, I've mispronounced your name wrongly.
Yeah, Sarah, it's okay, I'll
sorry.
Let you off.
That's a typo. Eileen, first of all, just for anybody that hasn't heard of Dudley CVS, what is it?
We're a local registered charity. We've been going 40-odd years, and we support the voluntary community and fair sector to grow and connect. So things like setting up of charity, charity registration, training board members, business planning, helping with funding. I run a volunteer centre. We've got a social prescribing project. We've got a children and young people's team. We've got all sorts.
So for those people who are not aware of Operation Santa, tell us what that is. And just move a bit closer to the microphone, Eileen. There you go.
It's been running for nearly 45 years now, and basically the pretext is simple. We collect toys, gifts, etc. for kids who wouldn't get a present at Christmas otherwise.
So how many people are involved with the Operation Santa part of it?
There's me from CVS. I'm the paid member of staff. Mm-hmm. I've got six volunteer elves. All volunteers and lots of lovely supporters like Lee.
Indeed. So give us some idea of the organisations and businesses that supported the event without obviously giving trade names. So you've had in the past you've had large donations from retailers, haven't you, for example? I think you've had help from other organisations, but it's largely individual donations
and a lot of small businesses, interestingly.
Yes. Yeah.
Council, NHS staff collect for us, but we've got a local hairdresser called Brett who runs Blaze Hair who supports us and collects for us every year. But the real bulk of it this last couple of years has been the Santa Gangster crew.
Sure.
Mr. Magic.
So you had some support from His Worship the Mayor of Dudley. What did he do for you?
Yes, he had a wonderful time at our open day. He was really getting into it and helping us raise the profile and push the tickets. He bought some tickets, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And he was really good. And he shared a lot of stuff on social media for us. And he did a press release for us saying about more collections and appeal for us in December, which was great. And I think he really enjoyed getting involved. And a lot of the council staff do collect for us as well. They collect for us every year, Dudley NBC staff as well.
So out of all the collections that you made and items that were donated, do you know roughly how many donations you received this year?
Yeah, just under 13,000. About, I think it's 12,994, something
that
like that.
That must be a nightmare to administer and to actually account for as well.
We count everything that comes in.
Yeah, you have to.
Be a pen or an 8-foot teddy bear. It's a little bit frantic, shall we say, because it all tends to come in a very condensed 4-week period. So you've got to count it, sort it, and then get it all out again. Because we don't want to have anything left at Christmas Eve, do we?
No, that's right. And to be honest with you, I feel like I've been on this journey with you because you're in our performance, or you have been in our performance studio at the back, then obviously we're in here in our other studios working during the week. And you're always there, you and Trevor, you're always there doing something.
Oh, yes.
And we see this sort of turnover of items that come into the studio that then get donated out and then fresh items come in. I have been on that journey with you. Lee, now your company donated a fully working road legal VW Beetle for the prize draw. Now it's not the first time you've donated a vehicle, is it?
No. Last year, the year before, my nephew Dale Roberts
gave his own car, which was a golf convertible, and that's what started the ball rolling with raffling a car off. We've always collected. We've collected for five. Santa's Gangs have been going for 5 or 6 years. Mm. We've always collected funds and toys. But then when Dale decided to donate his own car, then it went so well. Last year, we decided to buy a car, and we had lots of local companies donate their time and efforts to build this car up to a really cool little car, and we raffled it off. Yeah, it was raising great funds, and we're going to be doing the same again this year. We've got a real star of a car for this year we can't tell you about yet, but keep watching because it's going to be a shocker.
So what motivated you to get involved again this year? Was it the legacy of the other car being donated, or you know, what inspired you to come back and assist again?
It's kind of split into two ways now, because we take like donations of monies, we take donations of toys, and then there's the car. So ordinary Santa's a Gangster just used to take donations of monies and gifts. And now we're taking the car on. It's kind of split it a little bit for us. We run it as two different kind of things in the company. Mm-hmm. But because it went so well, we couldn't ignore that. We just want to make sure that all the kids in our borough get something at Christmas. Because, you know, if like Eileen said, if there's any toys left before Christmas, we've done something wrong, haven't we? They need to go out. They need to help children. That's what we're all about. And on all our supporting people, we couldn't do what we do without all that massive support. And we've got a trade show. A friend of ours runs V-Dubs in the Valley, Gary and Hayley. The support they give us, I can't even start to explain. We couldn't do it without them. Mm. You know, it would be impossible. It would be impossible.
So, how do you go about deciding what car to donate, and how do you go about getting it, and how long does the whole process take from getting a car to actually bringing it up to standard, and most importantly, making it road legal to be used?
It all depends. Obviously, the first car was donated, so that's what we got, and it was great because it was a nice classic Mark 1 Golf convertible. So we needed to up the game a little, you know. So a Beetle convertible was clearly what we wanted to do, and we wanted to. The year before, a friend of ours, Tomo, had passed away, and he donated right up to his last point. And we built his wife a red Beetle with a black roof. So we kind of modelled it upon that and put Tomo on the side of it to honour the car to Tomo. Mm. And that's what I'm saying about this year. People need to watch careful, because we have got a star of a car.
I have to say, I saw the car in our VIP car park out the front on the launch day, and it looked fabulous.
Well, we had the mayor in there giving his own money. He wanted it.
Yes. So. I think if you hadn't been careful, the mayor would have scarpered with it, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Eileen, how many requests for support did you receive? We've talked about now about the amount of donations.
We were up 85% from the year before. Requests, because obviously word spreads about what we do, and we had to cap it at 25 gifts per support person, be it a volunteer, per person, but cap it at 25 per person, just to control it. I think we had about 98 requests just through for lists of toys for kids, and then we did a specialist disabled children's Christmas party with 60 kids all got a present to meet their needs. Mm-hmm. We did grotto presents, we did Christmas parties, we did all sorts last year, didn't we?
Yeah, loads went on last year.
Loads last year. We did 3 Christmas party, one of which was funded by Kingsmith Football Club. The Courthouse gave us 2 free carbries days again. Mm-hmm. And the Courthouse is unfortunately now gone, but we've got plans for Legacy for this year.
There's plans. But Clive, you saw this. You saw last year's, and could you believe how many gifts came in?
No, because
really,
it was just like something I have never seen in my life before.
Can you imagine there's that many kind people out there just want to give, and they want to give, and they want to help? And
I can, because it's the somewhere. Black country.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're about.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what
it's
we're
as
about.
Simple as that. But it's important to understand that you don't just respond to individual requests. Now, these requests that come in are from partnership agencies
or voluntary community sector, statutory services, schools, social workers, NHS. It's got to be a not-for-profit, and we don't deal with individuals. They have to become through a third party. So it's like the child's suitable presence and stuff like that. We don't deal with individuals, no.
And clearly you said earlier on you were up 85% then on last year. Mm-hmm. That is some going.
It is. I think there's probably a lot of trade-off. There's probably that the poverty levels in the borough, obviously half the children in Dudley Borough are now living in poverty, the new stats.
Yes.
unemployment's up, redundancies are up. We've got a lot of people who actually work full-time, but they're on 0 hours contracts. And a lot of the families we help are working families. They're not people on benefits. They're people who are struggling. They've got a choice of Christmas presents or pay the bills.
Yeah, it's not known by a lot of people that they just think, oh, it's people that haven't got anything. What about them people that are going to work and they're on the breadline and they can't afford that toy or they can't afford to... What they're going to choose? They're going to choose shoes or they're going to choose food? What they're choosing? Mm. Well, that's what Eileen and Trev do. They make sure it gets to the right places.
Mm. And I noticed on in the report that I saw online that you had a number of very nice letters from individuals and organisations, didn't you? And I think that helps to make it even more worthwhile.
We don't get a lot of thank yous, I must be honest. It sounds awful, doesn't it? Don't you expect, if we did for thank you, we wouldn't do it, there's no point.
No.
We have some really nice thank you letters.
But it's nice when people do actually put pen to paper or finger to keyboard, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Well, the more mascots, I mean, all their children are either profound disability or life limited, and we provided toys for every child's specialist party and stuff like that. And we've never done that before. And the kids that come for the meals, quite often they're not going to get a Christmas lunch at all, if anything. And they get the Christmas lunch and they get to see Santa, which
On our watch, boss.
Oh, they do on our watch. Oh, yeah. Charles forgot on our watch.
Well, the nice thing was on launch day, Santa came in here and had a chat with me.
He did.
Which I was honoured to have a chat with.
Did you get to sit on his knee?
Yes, I did.
Hey.
Casey comes up in 3 weeks' time.
He was initially not too sure about players, you know, about the whole thing, but he was very enthusiastic.
Didn't we have some money out of him for the car?
Probably,
I think Santa even bought a ticket.
Yeah, did Santa he? Bought a ticket.
Well, you need a backup just in case the reindeers are off colour.
Yes.
Yeah, got his backup plan. But yeah, it was a really... That was a launch, and I have to say, the Backcountry Radio, you guys have been amazing. They really made a big difference this year,
totally,
didn't they?
Yeah.
The venue, the support.
Well, it's not
us,
it's our listeners that have helped you.
It is. And I mean, we've got quite a lot of contacts off your website, and I'm still getting them now. Mm-hmm. And a couple of very strange ones, which were nothing to do with Santa, which I'm not going to get involved with, but yes.
But, you know, Clive, you say it's not about you guys, it's about your listeners. But that's only the same about us, though. It's only about the people that support us.
Yeah.
We only bring it together, don't we?
Yes. Just the brokers.
You know, it's about everybody that stands behind us. Because one day we might fall and we might need catching. And then people are there ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what the Black Country's about. And surrounding areas all support us as well.
Yeah.
That's what we're about.
Yeah.
Sure. So what happens now in Dudley CVS's day-to-day work and, you know, the projects that you're working on during the year that aren't necessarily Christmas-related?
Can I just say, by the way, we've got storage this year, and courtesy of donations, we've got a rather large stash ready for this year.
But brilliant.
Yeah, okay. We're already ahead.
We're ahead.
That's good.
Back to the day job I haven't done for 2 months, really, play catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff we do, like we do the awards. I'm helping groups with Queen's Awards, with honours, all sorts of stuff. Back to the day job, really. Back to the normal stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So we start Christmas again about September.
Well, that I was going to say, when are you going to start planning next? So it starts September.
We've had over 1,000 donations already.
Don't listen to her, Clive, it's already started.
Well, the thing is, it's the sort of thing that kind of just runs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, year on year, you don't sort of switch off from it because of the density and the complexity of it, really.
See, somebody messaged me and he got over 700 rolls of wrapping paper and gift bags, which somebody donated.
Brilliant.
Well, what can I do? Say no.
Well, of course not.
I had 192 cuddly toys today.
Bring it on.
We got storage now. We just keep going upwards.
And anyone that's listening, keep bringing it.
Keep bringing it to Volks Magic.
Bring it down. If you'll
keep
come and find
it.
Us. We'll
so,
have it.
So where can people drop stuff off?
at my depot, Volks Magic in Albury. We're a small Volkswagen company in Langley. Come and find us. Look us up. Bring it any time. All my staff know about it.
Or my office, which is Albion Street, Briley Hill, opposite Samaritans as well.
And for more information online, where can people go to?
You can visit operationsanta.wordpress.com, Op Santa Dudley Borough on Facebook. I'm back to my day contact numbers. So it's 01384573381 or eileen@dudleycvs.org.uk. And we've got exciting things on the pipeline.
We have got
we
exciting
have to give
things.
Clive an exclusive.
Yeah, they can look on my website, which is volksmagic.com.
Yeah.
It goes out there. We've got a live Facebook feed on our website, so you can see what's going on. At Christmas, it's very lively to do with it. But anything that comes in through the year goes on there anyway. Mm. And also, the new car build will be on there on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
You're teasing him now, you see.
I'm intrigued by that.
I've seen it. I know what we're getting.
Worth a watch.
Excellent. Lee and Eileen, thank you both ever so much for coming in. And we'll, you know, when you say we'll do it all again next year, well, we'll do it all again this year, shall we?
Let's do it this year.
Thank you very much indeed. You are listening to the Friday Night Clive podcast. If you like what you are hearing, don't forget to subscribe to get the latest instalment at blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, on with this week's episode. I'm joined now by the Black Country Blokes. Now, according to the Mental Health Foundation in England, around 1 in 8 men have a common mental health problem. However, men may be, well, there's no maybe, we know men are reluctant to seek support for their mental health or disclose mental health problems to loved ones. While many of the same difficulties are experienced by both men and women, some difficulties and influences on mental health may be especially relevant for men. Now, I'm joined now by Kevin Dillon, Craig Pinches, Lee Cadman and Aaron Dew, who are the full quota of the Black Country Blokes, and they make podcasts around men's mental health. They're all in front of me now. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, mate. Yes.
You can do better than that. Hello.
Hello, mate.
That's better. Right, first, tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Well, my name's Kevin Dillon. I'm the head coach of the Lions Boxing Club in Briley Hill. I've been involved in boxing for 30-odd years. Unfortunately, when I was 3 years old, I had viral meningitis and left me registered blind. So when I found out I couldn't box, I was heartbroken. Mm. So I was in and out of trouble. And then my dad, who's a GB boxing coach, who's gone to 4 Olympics, trained Anthony Joshua and Amir Khan, etc. When I was 18, he said, well, Kev, why don't you become a coach? And it's the best thing I've ever done. And yeah. Because all these things that now I'm talking about, now I'm 36, I wouldn't have dreamt of talking about that when I was a kid. And this is why I've got together with these lads and started this podcast, so hopefully it could help a young Kevin Dillon say, even though you're different doesn't mean you're wrong. Because when you're a child, you long to be normal. When you're a man, you want to be extraordinary.
Sure.
And I hear so many stories from the youth of today and the elders, and we're all bloody the same. We sometimes we can sit on the couch and have a cry. It doesn't mean we're weak. It means we're human.
Absolutely. Aaron, tell me about your involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my own podcast, actually, called Find Your Voice, and that was about overcoming adversity. And Kev over here was actually my first guest. So suffering with anxiety pretty much for 30 years of my life, thinking that there was actually something wrong with me, to only realise it's quite common, actually, a lot more common than you think. I want to do one, showcase my own journey and make other people realise that it's all right to have something that we need to work on, for example, with your mental health or mental illness. And then obviously getting Kev on to the show, and I've got other incredible guests who have overcome adversity such as cancer, death of spouses, and just unbelievable stories. What I want to try and do is give listeners an element of hope to know that somebody else has been through maybe worse situation than yourself, but come out the other side, that hopefully you can do that too. So me and Kev obviously did that first episode, and then we got speaking, and then we all four of us kind of joined together. And through just meeting each other, actually, we just recognised we've got similar traits in terms of we think about the same things, we cry over the same things. But the only problem is we don't necessarily always voice those, especially as men, because, you know, bravado kicks in. We wear a mask in public. So this is one of the things we want to kind of strip away from people and just make people aware that what you perceive as your weaknesses could actually be your strengths.
Well, the motto of the show is men don't talk. In actual fact, men do talk, but no bugger's listening. And how many times you knock on the door, if no one's answering, eventually you stop knocking. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. I think that's what is such a massive drink and drug thing in the area, because mm-hmm. people can go and have 10 pints, a bag of this, a smoke of this, because when you're off your nut, then you'll talk, because then you'll go, well, I was only drunk. When all you really want to do is go, I'm hurting, sure. I'm down. Mm-hmm.
Craig, tell me about your story, how you're involved.
Well, I'm a musical artist. I run a record label, co-own a record label, Rise or Demise Records, shameless plug. But, you know, even as an artist and as a creative, I feel that we naturally have tortured souls. And Kev is a mutual friend of all of us, so we never even met each other up until Kev introduced us and he came up with this podcast. And it was all about helping people. Now, we're all like-minded individuals. We all have different backgrounds, like mine is music, Aaron's is property, you know. So we all have different backgrounds, but we found a common ground. So, you know, when Kev asked me if I wanted to be a part of something that may possibly help, you know, other people going through the things I'll go through, I jumped at the chance, because what these guys have taught me and what Aaron constantly tells me is my problems are not exclusive to me. You know, a lot of people are going through them. When you're in your own head, you feel you're the only one going through them. So that's where I fit in. You know, they offered me an opportunity to be a part of something that is bigger than what I am as a person. Mm-hmm. And it may help people, and it has helped people, you know, with the feedback that we've got through people.
Lee, how were you involved?
Well, I've known Kev for a number of years, since school age, and Kev's really brought us all together. We'd all been up the boxing club previously. I'm a boxing coach, but we'd all separately been up the boxing club, and we all come together like that, basically. We was all brought together by Kev.
So why did you start the Black Country Blokes then?
That's just to help people. We want to help people. We want to make people realise that they can talk, make men realise that they can talk. You haven't got to hide it and, you know, be open. Talk to someone.
I think it's because of, like, being men in particular, you know, everyone goes through, but being men, we automatically feel, and black countrymen as well, we automatically feel we've got to be that tough iron and, you know, keep it in and don't be this and don't be that. But the fact is, I go through a lot of things myself, and so does Lee, and so does Kevin, so do Aaron. And when we got together as a collective, we realised that, hold on, we're going through this, and we're bleeding our hearts to each other here. So how many people are out there going through what we're going through in silence, without a platform and without a voice? So we've sort of created it, one, to show people it's okay to show your vulnerabilities, and it's okay to discuss with people what you're going through, in the hope of help, and not keep it to yourself, you know. And we've sort of hopefully gave them a platform and sort of the gumption to go ahead and tell people what you feel and not keep it all in.
Aaron, why did you start doing the podcasts?
So actually it was a bit of a dare, to be completely honest with you. So I'm involved in property, and somebody was interested in my story because I'm quite an anxious person. I don't like networking events. I mean, this is quite difficult for me just speaking. I can hear my own voice shaking. Anyway, long story short, he forced himself and put a YouTube camera in my face and recorded me on a podcast. Anyway, people found that story endearing because I just literally shared my vulnerabilities on how I struggle with going to network meetings. I'm always a person at the back of the class. I'm always too shy to voice my opinion. And that's kind of where Find Your Voice started coming about. And then I thought, well, people are interested in my story. There's nothing really that fascinating about it. So that's why I thought, why don't I share other people's stories? Hence what I've done up until now. I've had like 60 different types of guests, including Kev here. And I've slowly just started to find my own voice and become comfortable in expressing everything about me. And I can't explain to anyone listening out there who may have this perceived mask that we speak about. It's so refreshing, and it takes so much less energy just to be yourself in a world that most often tries to create you to be somebody that you're not, or kind of brackets you into this narrative of what they think you should be. And me just stripping that back now and doing the things that make me happy and being around these guys. I mean, this is like, we call it like our therapy session every Tuesday.
Well, everybody has a coping mechanism,
absolutely,
don't they? You know, I mean, I've spoken about this before on this program, that I have anxiety and depression as a result of a bereavement many years ago. And once you have depression, you can control it, but it never leaves you. It's always there. But I find my coping mechanism, I've got lots of them, but one of them is, you know, I'm usually in a radio studio or a television studio or I'm on stage or I'm doing something. So I'm keeping busy, but I'm hiding behind that. But I now know that I can actually sort of take the curtain away and be myself, away from that environment. Mm. And one of my coping mechanisms is animals or the countryside. Well, I live in the countryside, so it's fine. But that's how I kind of switch off and just be me again. Because when you do this, you know, when you're doing podcasts or you're speaking to people, you're performing effectively, aren't you?
Yeah. What we say a lot is, you've got to find your medicine.
Yeah.
And that's because some people say, the best way to get over it, and you're going, let me find my medicine.
Sure.
Don't bully me. Let me grieve in the way I want to grieve. Mm. If I want to laugh, then let me laugh. There's nothing wrong with it. And we're so individual, but that's what makes us so brilliant.
Why is it that us chaps hide our mental health problems? I mean, I've spoken about this on this programme before with other contributors, but why is it that we are rubbish at just saying, I'm actually not having a very good day today because of X, Y and Z?
Well, we had a seminar with Nick Davis, who's a hypnotherapist and life coach, and he came to give a talk about confidence at the club. And we had from super heavyweights to super flyweights. And he went, name things you're frightened of. And everyone went, dying, my wife dying. Da-da. And he went, embarrassment. And everyone looked at each other and went, who here would rather jump in that ring and be beaten than to go and read this piece of paper in front or go and ask a girl out? And all these guys put their hands up. He went, so you would rather put yourself in physical danger than feel uncomfortable? And that's what happens with us. We don't want to mention it because it makes us feel uncomfortable. We are frightened of being a fool. And the thing is, if we're on karaoke singing Robbie Williams or Shawaddy Waddy, we're there to make ourselves look a fool. But when we put our heart on the slab and people belittle us, that's petrifying to us. Mm. How will I look to my peers?
When people don't talk about mental health, what detrimental effect does it have on them?
Well, that's the reason why we started it, because I run this boxing club. It's a man's environment with travellers and big, hard, tough men. And when you chip away, we're all the same. We want to be loved. We want to belong. We don't want to be belittled. So when we don't talk about it, people feel excluded. And we all feel like we're this individual snowflake and no one has ever felt like we have before. And it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. I think as well, like, you don't speak about it because you're the hunter-gatherer. This is just the way I feel about it. You're the hunter-gatherer. You're the pride of the family. You're the dad that your children look up to. What kind of superhero are you if you've got this weakness going on? So then you hold it in. And it's detrimental in the fact that, you know, your voice multiplies that many times in your head the longer it's kept inside. So you tell yourself, you know, you're your worst enemy. So you think, oh, I feel like this today internally. And then it echoes and echoes and it echoes that many insecurities and it breeds more anxieties and you start feeling even more worthless then. So then you hold it in even more because you feel even more shamed that your children are going to be looking at you and thinking, hold on, you're my superhero and you're telling me that you're going through this and you're going through that. So you keep it to yourself and it's just a cycle. There's no release valve.
It's also important, I think, using children as an example there, that it's important for a child to see that their dad or their mum is being honest with themselves as well as the rest of the family, surely.
Well, I come from a very strong family. My dad is a loud, big character, known very well in the boxing community and now GB coach. But my dad, big, tough Bob Dylan, every day told me and my brother he loved us. Every time he sees us, he'll put his arms around. And that's from boxers, and he'll go, Aaron, love to see you. Hey, get. You could walk in, he'll kill me for saying this. You'll walk in and he'll be crying at an advert. And he's so in touch with his emotions. And I think that's why I am. I'm so blessed to have the family I have. But some of these people haven't. So what we've got to be is their role model. Because their mum and dad haven't done it, that's our duty to give them that.
And I think that's a positive and that's a strength.
Yeah.
You know, would you say? Lee, tell me about these podcasts, because you've had, obviously as a group, you've taken part in various podcasts. Give me some examples of the topics that you've talked about.
It can be things like just finding your purpose. So we'll talk about, have we all found our purpose, where we want to be in life, things along that line. Male suicide's been quite a big one. But we also have guests on who come and share their story. So we've had some really good guests on who may have been sexually abused as a young child. We've had people who have been to jail and been through drugs and come out the other side and found God. So, yeah, we do quite a wide range of subjects.
Which has been the subject that stuck out for you or for all of you?
Well, tell the one, Lee, about when me and you did one, just the two of us.
Sorry, do you want to?
You talk, Lee. The one that me and you did.
So me and myself have three children. My youngest is disabled, so he's got a life-limiting disability. And Kev is partially sighted. What is it, Kev, you can't see fully?
I've got 3/60 vision, so I'm completely blind in my left eye. And I've got 7% in my right eye. And what we're doing was, it's called two sides of the same coin. Because when I was growing up, I was just worried about me. I never thought about my parents until I've had my own child. And then Lee being the daddy of a poorly child, it's the same coin but the different side. So it was great for us. It's one of our first ones. Two sides of the same coin. Because when you're going through the mill, you don't think about those around you.
I think as well on that subject, no matter which subject it is we're talking, they hit you in a different way and they leave you in a different way. You know, I've had some, like there's one guy who lost his brother. He got killed in a tragic...
Steve Hansel,
and he got killed in a tragic accident. And when he was speaking to me having brothers as well, and the way he described his brother, like the fool of the family, and like to laugh and joke and make the children laugh and things like that, it hit me. It hit me hard, being a dad and being a brother as well. And that one sits with me, but each one has their own little emotional attachment to you, and you always walk away thinking, wow, a change of perspective, you know, like depending on the different stories that we're hearing.
What responses have you had from the work that you do?
Well, I've had some wonderful responses at the club, and I've had, and I won't mention their names, people who've come up to me and says, thank you, Kev, because I thought I was the only one who's suffering with body dysmorphia, or I thought I was the only one who was suffering with depression, and for such a strong character like you to come out and be so brutally honest, it's remarkable. So that's my gold medal. That's my... if we finish tomorrow, knowing I've helped those few people is wonderful. One of my favourite episodes was one of the boxers I used to have, Ash Nixon. We had him in... he was a tow rag. He was expelled. We had him through connections. Returned his life around. Then he found himself falling into the drug world. Got into it, ducking and diving, went to prison. Come out, and I said to him... he said to me, Kev, you saved my life once. We do it again. Turned his life around, got him to an ABA, Midlands novice. And then... he said to me one day, he says, when I was in prison, don't laugh at me, I found God. I went, Ashley, never be ashamed of finding something. Now, he's an evangelist and he's becoming a priest. And
good
he said,
for him.
If it wasn't for the love of boxing and of the Dillons and the Lions, I could never have accepted the love of the Lord. So never mind the people who box for England and the ABAs and the people who are doing well. That is my gold medal. And if we can do that with Ashley and we can help that... those people who have messed with the black country, we're winning.
There was one as well, Kev. Sorry to interrupt you. There was one as well. Did you not say, I hope you don't mind mentioning this, there was a kid who...
Well, that's it.
You stopped him doing something that otherwise he would have done.
He was on the brink of doing something that he can't come back from. He had some tablets and he was on the phone to me, only a young lad. I won't mention who it is because I've got more respect. But mentioning these things, and we talked, and I said, the world is at your feet. Think about the damage it would do to myself, and I barely know you. And by talking, it's not... the thing is with mental health, with counselling, sometimes it's knowing the thing not to say. Not feeling them, making them feel guilty for feeling this, because they're already shamed and broken. It's reminding them that you love them. It's reminding them that they're not alone. You are not the first person to feel like this. And there are people who you can reach. I mean, our club is down the road in Briley Hill. The Lions find us. If you want to come up and have a rattle, not only to me or to one of my the people, and I have to go with the Lions, I can be the Priory, I can be Merrydale, I can be all these wonderful places. Find your medicine. Don't suffer alone. Because there are so many people out there who are going through what you are, and there's so many people willing to help. So please, don't do it alone.
Aaron, what response have you had to the podcasts?
So similar to obviously what Craig and Kev have mentioned as well, but I think for myself, so I used to box a long time ago. So within my community, I was always kind of seen as the guy who could kind of handle himself, at least from like a physical standpoint. But when we openly talk and we discuss everything, to be honest, it literally is like an open-ended therapy session. And even though it's going live, in that moment, we don't recognize it's going live. And we just say all of our darkest secrets. People have come up to me and they've told me it's changed their conversation. So the biggest changing point for me was my brother's 9 years younger than me. And they sit every weekend and they go for some beers and some food. And he goes, listen to your podcast with these lads here. He goes, you've changed the conversation now. Instead of saying, oh, I've been with this person or I've made this much money or I've done this, it's how are you feeling today? How's your week been? Or actually, I'm really struggling this week. And for me, that was like Kev's gold medal there. That was especially for my younger brother and his peers to know that they're now changing the conversation, changing the narrative of let's stop this act, let's stop this mask, let's just now be honest and say, you know what, I've had such a bad week. Can somebody talk to me? And now between them, they've got a great group of friends. They all just speak to each other, similar to how we do every Tuesday. Like we all, sometimes it's a mission getting up on a Tuesday to the club. But when we leave, we all leave refreshed and kind of ready for the rest of the week. And that's kind of what we want the community to do as well. And one thing I've noticed about the Black Country is it is a community thing. We've had a brilliant response from everyone supporting us. And, you know, anyone's welcome. If somebody has a story that's empowering to help other people, you know, the floor is always open.
Yeah.
What would be your advice? Let's go around the table. What would be your advice for men suffering with mental health problems? We'll start with Lee.
Oh, but that's quite easy. I think you've got to talk. You know, you've got to get out there and you've got to, it doesn't have to be with a professional, but you've got to talk to someone. You can't keep it all bottled in. There has to be, you have to release it. That'd be...
Craig, how would you add to that?
I think you've got to want to find your medicine, so to speak. So, like nature, everyone says go walk around nature. Go, no two medicines are the same and they treat you the same. So, okay, speak, and I do agree with that, but you've got to be mindful of who you're speaking to and make sure it's someone that's listening and not just hearing, which is, I think, is a very important thing to do. How do you determine that? You find podcasts or like-minded individuals and you lay your heart out. But I think communicating, that's obviously, that is the big one, but admitting when you're feeling down, because they always say admitting something is the first step to recovery. So you've got to admit that, yeah, I am going through things and I need to seek help. If you continue to deny it and, no, I'll be okay, I'm strong enough, I'll be okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, or stop being this and stop being that, you're never going to seek help. So you need to admit it, seek it, and execute it.
Kev, how would you add to that?
We're products of our environment. And if you're surrounded by poison, negativity, watch EastEnders.
And there's so much of it around.
Yes, you watch EastEnders, and then you go on your phone and go, da 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 da. And then you listen, we're a product of what we're around, what we see, what we feel, what we smell. So if you've got that poisonous chalice in your hand, drop it, move away from it. Find someone who betters you, who has got your best interest at heart. My mum, wisest woman I've ever met in my life, says, you're as good as anyone and better than most. And that saying has got me through a lot of stuff. So you've got to surround yourself by people who've got your interest.
Finally, Aaron.
I think the only thing I would add to what everyone else has said is I went on a podcast. It was called The Mentor Podcast, which is, I think, number 4 across the UK. And I actually asked the question myself because I feel like sometimes I try every day through my podcast, through the Black Country Blokes, to spread this awareness. And I've still seen people that haven't taken the advice or just gone and done something else. So the advice he recommended was to just reach out to the Samaritans. So again, this is just one man's point of view, as it is these three guys as well. But the Samaritans are trained in relation to this. So one thing I'd always say is, if you feel that you're coming towards the end of your tether or you're struggling, there's people there who are trained to deal with your problems as such. And that's obviously something that we're all thinking about doing ourselves, to learn the mental health training as well moving forward. So as a first step, you know, simple Google, ring the number. I think you can text them as well, however you feel comfortable, but reach out to someone. Again, we're all available, but I don't know the exact answer. If I knew that, I would be sharing it with the world. But for now, let's use the professionals.
I want to go back to a point you made, Kev, a second ago. One of my friends who works on another radio station, and he's quite famous, so I'm not going to mention his name. He was dumped by his girlfriend the year before last. And somebody said to him, make sure, what you've got to do is ensure that you are right for other people, not ensuring that other people are right for you.
Yeah,
is that a fair argument?
I think so.
Yeah. And sometimes we get confused by, she's Miss Right, or is she just Miss Right now? And sometimes, some people are brilliant for that chapter in your life. Doesn't mean they've got to go from the start to the finish. Sometimes, the book is full of so many chapters and different things. Doesn't mean they've got to be there to the last credits. So enjoy it for what it is. And sometimes, we get lost in reading the same pages over and over. Turn the page, move on, because by the grace of God, there might be something better.
Sort of like what you just said as well. I think it was Les Brown. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, stop staying in situations where you're trying to change people to suit you. It's a full-time job changing yourself. So as you say, make sure you're right for other people, because there's no way you can filter absolutely everybody out to be right for you. So as long as you know who you are and who you're right for, you'll know which situations and relationships don't suit you.
If people want to listen to your podcasts or find out more about you, how can they do this?
I'll step away from the mic now. Let's
hear Aaron's else. I'm a for this one. Aaron, go on then.
I think Lee's pretty good.
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook, and that is www.facebook.com/theblackcountryblokes. We're on YouTube, and if you just search The Black Country Blokes, you'll come up. The same with Spotify and podcast on Apple.
And Instagram.
And Instagram, yes.
Excellent. So Aaron, Kevin, Craig and Lee, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live.
Thank you. If you ever want to come down the Lions.
Grateful thanks there to the Black Country Blokes for a very, very interesting discussion about men's mental health. And as they say, you can find them on Spotify and on Facebook as well. And you can also find the podcasts as well. That's your lot for this episode. You can catch the show live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you love our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts. or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast, presented by Clive Payne, production by Andy Caddick and Alex Griffiths.